بسمك اللهم وبحمدك لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونستهديك ونتوب إليك. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. Okay, like I explained earlier, 101, the course have two classes, two branches of knowledge. One represent the minimum amount of knowledge that you're supposed to know, and the second branch represent the minimum amount of knowledge that you're supposed to know to not to do, to make sure that you are not going to do none of those. Okay. And that called the forbiddance. In the first week, I explained what is the meaning of forbidden, and what kind of forbiddance, and why they are forbiddance, why God forbid them. And I talked about the attributes of those forbiddance. Last week, I talked about the consequence of the forbiddance. When you do them, what happened? And we found out that there are about 26 impact for every time you do one single mistake. And we found out that they are come in having a tremendous impact on a certain category. They affect your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They affect your relationship with yourself. They affect your relationship with people. And they affect your relationship with nature and the environment around you. And also we found out there is no such a thing called one mistake or one good deed. When they come in a group, and when they leave in a group. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His kindness, He give you or pay you single. For every mistake, He will pay you, you carry the responsibility of this mistake. But usually they don't come single. And I give examples about stealing. So stealing is one thing, denying is another, creating doubt who is the thief is a third, accusing somebody else is a fourth, whatever, missing trust is a fifth, a whole entire package. Today we want to go to the first and the mega. Now, what are the mistakes? They are classified to two kinds. One, they are major. Major, that means you are in deep trouble. Or by another word, you disqualify the purpose of life. Or you are living as a predator, not as a human being. And there are minors. And those major, some they take you completely out of the religion. Even if you still claim it. Even if you still claim that you are, but what you did deliberately, immediately take you completely out. And what we're going to find out, that some of those acts, from our perspective, so what? They are very minor, very small. What is all of that big stuff is all about? But remember, the whole entire life is about what? About preparation. And these are, remember, they are like the bullet that it killed the lion or the bullet that it killed the elephant. Right? And that's the time to put it in the right perspective. As far as I'm concerned, the first one here, or the first one and the major, let me give you some of the very quick run to some of the majors. Associating with God. Disobedient to your parents. Killing. These are things and others. These are major ones. Major. And the impact of them, major, like what we're going to find out today. Now, what does association with God mean? Or is shirk? Associating with God means what? Means that you are claiming an act or right or attribute belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to another deity. Act, rububiyyah, lordship, like you come and say somebody else is creator, or somebody else provide, or somebody else control, which is very easy to say. Or the divinity, like you are obeying somebody else and disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Especially the most common form, like what we're going to find out, leaders. Either social leaders, political leaders, economic leaders, or even religious leaders. Human beings are human beings, and they do mistakes too, to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when that is in head, also when you claim attribute or character belonging to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to others, like mercy, kindness, love, you are associating with them. Okay. I need to reinforce a certain concept again while we are studying that part. You have to understand that there is nothing can happen in that universe against or different or out of the jurisdiction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will. And now we understand that the will is two kind. The will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, two kind. One kind, He legislated. And He said, that's what I would like you to do. And if you do, I will be happy with you. And that's called Sharia. That's what He sent through the messengers and prophets. So that's His will. The second part of His will is when you, by your choice, choose to go the other direction and leave this one. Because to start with, He gave you the right to choose. You are the creature, you and the jinn have the right to choose. Others, all other creatures, they are working according to a certain programs in them. It's called instinct or nature. But the only one who uses his brain and got the faculties and with the human being. So when you go to the second part of the will, is what? When you by your will insist on to disobey, He will give you the permission to keep alone, to go alone. He allowed, but that does not mean He accepted. The first one He allowed and accepted. The second one He allowed, but He did not accept it. And from there it comes the reward and punishment. He allowed because you insisted on it and you wanted to do it with even the warning, and you said you're going to carry the consequence of your choice. That does not mean Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted that. You need to know all the acts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from your perspective, from your own perspectives. Hardship or prosperity, they all act of mercy. Basically, I want to go to the same meaning, which is act of mercy means what? Preventing harm before it happened. And why He is preventing the harm from you? To not to bleed your energy, to not to divert you, to let you focus on the job that He created you to do in that stage, which is what? To prepare yourself by yourself to His qualification, to qualify to His mercy in the hereafter. He doesn't want you to get involved in the jungle survival mechanism. Can you imagine a human being species trying to survive among the rest of the species? Man, it's going to be a bloody lunch. Can you imagine 20,000 lions running around Washington, D.C.? They are creatures like you. But where they are? In the zoo. And you are in the street. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I need to reinforce that. His divinity, his right to be obeyed, it came from his right because of what he did. He created, he provided, he owned, he controlled, he gave life, and he gave death. That gave him right. Why I obey you when I come to your home? Because you are the owner of the home. But outside your home, I'm not going to obey you. But if I'm in your jurisdiction, I'm going to obey you. Why? Where do you get this right to be obeyed in your home? Because you are the owner. You are the controller. You are the one who opens the door and says who get in and who is not. That give you that right. And if I violate that right, what's going to happen? You go and call the police. So that gives you a right. Don't ever forget that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the right. And that's one of the major issues that in any interface programs, not only in the level of small levels like churches, synagogues, and non-Muslim and non-Ahlul Kitab and all of that. You can have anyone and any intellectual can claim a lordship to their deity. Like people can claim that Buddha God or Confucius God, and they actually pray. They do pray. Far East is very wide out for that belief. But when you have intellectual discussion in one issue, that's where it is. Everybody looks like, did Buddha create? That's no answer. Did the Messiah create? No answer. Confucius? No answer. Who claimed that he is the creator? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Did any known in the history of the mankind objected? No. Anybody else claim it? No. So remember all the time, obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not optional. That's His right. And you are merely a guest, given opportunity to qualify to His mercy. And you're going to leave, you're going to leave. So take advantage of that. And He wants you to take advantage of that. Use it, do not abuse it. Use it, do not abuse it. Okay. What kind of shirk we have, association with God we have? Like I said, we have two kinds. We have the major one and we have a minor one. And what is the major one? The major one can be an act or it can be a say that you say take you completely out of the Islamic belief, Muslim belief. That means you are denied. By what you said or did, you committed blasphemy, get you out, not committed sin. And if you do not repent and you die in this state, you have eternal punishment. No parole, no end to the period of punishment, that's the end of it. How serious that shirk, you can see from the definition how serious that is. That commit associating or claiming deity with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, deserve to be worshipped or claim that it is the creator, or you are trying to make it similar to it, or claim a son, or claim a whatever, a wife, or claim what, but you have you. All of these type of association, it is a violation to Allah's right. That's a violation to His right. And you have no right to violate some other creature right? How about violating Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right? That's a big one and serious one. That is the only sin that it is in the whole entire Sharia. And if you look carefully in the Old Testament and the New Testament, you're going to find the same. That is, if the person will die in this state, there is no forgiveness for it. Anything else is lifted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judgment. Two people killed each other. Or one person killed another. Right? I know that this one killed one and I'm going to execute the law. But maybe the other one deserved to be killed. I don't know. Maybe the one other one, he was in attempt to kill the first one and he slipped. I don't know. But anything else, stop playing judge. Don't judge. Right? We only see the act. But in this, judgment already passed. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive who die in this state. Worse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept any of his deed. Not one deed. The deed that committed this, but any deed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلَكَ وَلَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ وَلَهَزُ بِاللَّهِ. It was revealed, Ya Muhammad, it was revealed to you and it was revealed to your ancestor and the previous prophets and messengers. If anyone committed shirk, Allah will not accept any of his deed. And in the day of judgment, will be among the losers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like you see, completely forbid his mercy and his reward, which is the eternal life in paradise, on this person. This is serious, very, very serious. I don't know anything more serious than this. Okay, in conclusion of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept from you anything less than a total submission and a total devotion and sincere attempt to obey and be in a state of compliance. Do you know what is that called? Called jihad. So jihad is not the one that Hollywood style or whatever that the negative profile is keep promoting day and night. That is the one self-discipline to be in a state of compliance, to do your best to be in a state of obedience, to obey. Another thing I like to see before I go for a little bit to the type of shirk that we commit, worship Allah the way He wants, not the way you want. In the humanity, in the human history, in the history of religions, never been a problem identifying existing of only one supreme power, control the whole world and created. The problem all the time, is not only the definition, but the core of the problem is where everyone wanna submit or wanna not submit, worship this power their way, not God way. They want to do what they want to do, when they want to do, how they want to do, when it is convenient. So the issue is not a knowledge. The issue is where you stand from what he wants. Now, what kind of a shirk, the major shirk, is it one form or one format? No, it is more than that. Actually, it comes والعياذ بالله in four major categories. And I am very sad because we all, you're going to find out, we all, and I will say we all, not, and that's including me with you, that we have a lot of big clean up to do. A major clean up to do. The first shirk is fear from other than God. When you are afraid from other than God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, فَلَا تَخَافُوهُمْ وَخَافُونِ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Why you are afraid? Fear means distrust in God, not knowing God. And what is the fear will do to you? Remember, focus please with me. Your job, you are 24/7 building yourself to qualify to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mercy. Here it comes. Fearing, that means what? Something gonna happen, harm me. Something gonna happen, gonna stop me. Something gonna haunt me. That means I'm giving over myself a power, something. Have a power to control my destiny. That's association right there. I'm saying there is somebody can do to me what God doesn't want it to happen. I give a power over me which is only belong to God, to somebody else. So immediately that fear not only representing the ignorance and the distrust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it goes right into your conscience and kill it. It goes after your conscience and kill it. And who is the conscience? And what is the conscience? The conscience is your navigation system. Simple. It is your navigation system in this life. That's the one who is going to tell you by your instinct what's right and what's wrong. And you don't need a nationality or background or a certain education level or a social status or for it. We all got the same program. Same action and same reaction. So it goes right into it and hunt him and kill him. The fear. So he will not be able to recognize the truth. Because I'm going to be in a protective mode. Okay. The worst. Fear paralyzes its victim, even if he knows what the truth is, he will not going to stand by it. Why should I get in trouble? If I'm going to say a word, and this word is going to get me in trouble, and the people will attack me, or the people will do this to me, or I'm going to lose my job, or I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. You know what I mean? So the fear is going to do what? Stop you from standing by the truth. Is that a build to your character or destruction to your character? You see what the fear doing to you? Fear in any given community, it is the best tool to create dictators and tyrant. When you look at Mussolini, or you look at Adolf Hitler, or you look at others, how many legs they got? How many nose they have? How many muscles they have, more than any one of us. But they were good in doing all the time. Dictators and tyrants, they have one thing in common. They are extremely skillful in investing people fear. So when they invested the fear, how they invested the fear? They know how to get in touch with you, suck your energy and add it to themselves.
and beat you by their own, by your own fear. They invest your own fear against you and paralyze you. And this is how they grow. In the history of mankind, look at any given place you want, any era you want, any society you want, and see if invasion happened to those societies, you will never have the army, the invaded army, equal or greater than the population. Never happened. Never happened. All the time the invading forces a lot more less than the population. But why they win and why they control, why they do everything? Because they know how to invest people fear. You see, what is the shirk? Fearing from other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can cause? Nothing more than that. You see something wrong and you cannot talk about it. What kind of a person are you? Or you see a victim and you cannot stand by him. You are afraid. So you don't say the truth. You don't stand up by the truth. What kind of a qualification you are growing? You got a major problem here. You might not be what?
When you see a victim, how do you know if it's really... I mean, you don't always have the full information.
No, when you know.
Oh.
When you know. Okay. When you know, do you think there are basic fundamentals we all know and we all see, and we don't... This is why I'm saying killing the conscience. Or even when your conscience is alive and you know, you are not going to act. You are not going to act. You will take the back seat and you are afraid of the consequence. You are paralyzed, literally paralyzed. Now, fearing, like I said, create tyrant. And they are not born to be tyrant. They are not born tyrant. Lions been born from the first second to be killers. God created them to be killers. But the other one is not, God did not create him to be a tyrant. Or he did not put it in his genes to be a tyrant. Or program him to be a tyrant or dictator. But they became a dictator because of their wrongdoing and their skills to invest your fear. Can you imagine when you say, wait a minute, where are you going? He is coming, wait a minute, where are you going? She is coming and say, whoa, where are you going? Where are you going to go? Right in the middle. And he will stay in his size or her size. Now, when you have a serial killer running loose, can you imagine the amount of fear that he generates in a city and having all the law enforcement running after him? He became to be a serial killer because he did invest, not because only he killed, but he invested the fear. Somebody saw him in the first crime or the second crime. If somebody out of the fear, he got out of the fear and he reported and he said, I saw a character like this, or I, and you did not, was afraid of the revenge, or you know what I mean? Maybe he was not going to be, he was going to be only a killer, not a serial killer. You see what I'm saying? And create what it called the herd mentality. You are paralyzed. You cannot think. You don't know what is right and wrong. And when you know what is right and wrong, right? You cannot act upon it. And you are doing what? Fear. Let me give you another example for fear. Pound for pound, who is more stronger? A wild buffalo? Or a wild geese, or I mean wild cow, or a wild dog, or a wolf. Or even a lion, pound for pound. Fraction. Fraction. But you see by your own eyes in National Geographic and Wildlife, 2-3 lions, a totality of their power, if you put it in a scale, will never equal 2 members of the herd and the whole entire herd running. Running in front, and they run after them. So it is not an issue of power here. It is an issue of investment to the power. Investment to the fear. They took all of this power that it is in the herd and did what? Invested to their best interest, and they kept them running. What is also the impact of fear? Fear creates extremely self-centered person. Very self-centered. If it is for my benefit, we can do. If it is not for my benefit, I don't care if it is right or wrong. Don't bother me and stay away from me. Another attribute to that, the fear in your life and mine, is what? When you are afraid of other than Allah, any and everything will do what? Will scare you. You are afraid to get cold. You are afraid from the dark. You are afraid from this. You are afraid from a God gonna mug you. You are afraid of what kind of any? You are afraid from the dog. You are afraid from the cat. You are afraid from yourself. You are afraid of everything. But if you're only afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will realize. Can you imagine now the amount of power that you have? When you see anything around you is nothing more creatures under the control of one control you, none of them or all of them can harm you or can benefit you. How are you going to deal with them? You will never ever submit to any of them. And I was talking about submission earlier. And in psychology, the psychology scientists are saying what? They sum it but in different ways. They say what? No one will do to you but what you allow them to do to you. You see what that's the major big principles. No one ever will do to you but what you allow them to do to you. And you allow them through the fear. If you know your life in the hand of Allah, your death in the hand of Allah, your provisions in the hand of Allah, your well-being in the hand of Allah, your control, anything, your health or whatever, in the hands of Allah. When you communicate with other creatures, whatever they are, what is it that's going to be scary? Especially, you will not going to be paralyzed. Your tongue will never be paralyzed to say the truth, or to know the truth, or to support the truth. Another form of shirk, depending on other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You think, if you think that there is any deity can be harmful to you, or can be beneficial to you, other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are right there on the shirk. And you know, when you believe that other deity can benefit you or harm you, what is that? That feeling is, this is the legitimate, bona fide, and the only father to something called hypocrisy. Hypocrite. That it comes from this. Why you are wishy-washy with other people? either you try to prevent their harm, or you think they can be beneficial to you. Another form of destruction to you and to your character and to your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you just think somebody can be beneficial to you or can be harmful to you, you say they are the one who managing your affair. If they cannot help themselves, if they themselves cannot help themselves, how are they going to help you? Or can be harmful to you, or can be beneficial to you. Never ever be under the impression in that universe collectively, even when it all gets together, to harm you or to benefit you by other than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want, it will happen. No. But Allah makes means. And so when you are healed, the one who healed you, not the doctor, because the doctor gonna die. But the one who gonna heal you is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I wanna give you two examples. One, 11:1 from my life, and another you can find it. You are looking to a dead man. In 2000, my wife was with me there, I had a mass internal bleeding. To the point that you have a 5 chairman of the medical school standing by my head, they are saying, give him what he wants. Nothing, that's it, he's gone. My blood pressure went down to less than 42 or whatever. Anyway, I was gone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sended another surgeon from Lebanon, complete different country, and he is very friend and team a body to my brother-in-law, and they both chairman in surgery department. And when he heard, he came right in. I heard them by my own ears, and I'm in the intensive care unit, and they have all kind of whatever crap on my face. He said, listen, they are saying the reports this, and there is, he's not responding to this, he's not responding to this. We cannot know what the mass bleeding is coming from. Oh, everything we put, it goes right in down. We cannot do any. Because the minute they put in anesthesia, I'm gone, based on their calculation. I heard them by my own ears. He's saying, listen, I don't have anything to do, to lose. Prepare him for surgery. And it did. And alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted me to live. And I'm in front of you. And guess what? May Allah rest his soul. He's dead now for about 5 years. From a man, they said, that's it. And they collectively, if you put a five shermans, head of each one of them, the surgery in a different branch, when you put all of this knowledge in one area and they all come up collectively with that decision, that's supposed to be very accurate. But all of them, they couldn't benefit me and they couldn't harm me. And Allah sent another one from a complete different area, from a complete different country to do the job. I'm alive, he is dead. The second thing that I want to share with you, and I hope you will put it in your mind and carve it there and live the rest of your life based on it. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want, He will make your enemy serve you, not your friend. The one who hates you most, the one who is after you most, the one who want to destroy you most, Allah gonna make him serve you. Who raised Sayyidina Musa? Who was after Musa for 2 years, hunting and killing every baby with the assumption that he is a Musa? Who raised Musa? Who gave him the best education? Give him the best food, the best building character and leadership quality. His mother was running, hiding. Now she has a special quarter and servant in the palace. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want, He make your enemy serve you. So know your true enemy. And never be afraid of anyone. And never depend on any other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because nothing in that universe happened without His permission. No one can benefit you and no one can harm you. But you should be afraid of Him. But in what sense? You should be afraid how He sees you now. Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pleased with what He sees or not? Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepting you or not? He gives the one who believe and the one who doesn't believe, and the one who do good and the one who do bad the same, and sometimes He does give the others even more. That doesn't mean anything. What you supposed to be worried about day and night and afraid of is what? His anger, His rejection. Believe me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has His own quality assurance too. Not everything you do is going to be, that's it. It is like putting money in the bank account. No, it is not. There is acceptance process and rejection process. That's what you're supposed to be afraid of. And you're supposed to be worried about and scared about. Not worry about tomorrow, not about your provisions. The one who gives you your food by the same quantity, by the right quantity and the right dosage when you were in your mother's womb, when you are a fetus, without help from your mother and without help from you. Do you think He's not going to provide for you tomorrow? Worry about what you're supposed to be worried about. Okay. Another type of shirk or association with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, loving other than Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like I said earlier, He has the right to be obeyed. But He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, said, I want to build the relationship with you as a human being, not based on conquer. I want it to be built based on mutual love and mutual satisfaction. I want you to be happy. I want you to be happy. I want to be happy with you, and I want you to be happy with me. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He has all the mighty to make you do what He wants, He decided to deal with you differently. كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ, who's the Lord decided to deal with you with mercy. What is the consequence why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you the relationship with Him to be based on the confidence and love and satisfaction? Because if you have a confidence and satisfaction, first thing you're going to do is what? Accept His decree in your life. You're never going to say, how come? Or how come me? Or why I am sick? Why I am poor? If you have a confident and you love Him, you will accept whatever coming from Him. And if you even believe that it is an act of mercy and act of love, you will accept it more. If you go and love other deity and submit to other deity, you are destroying your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is not going to get harm from it. You are going to get harm from it. Because everything going to happen to your life, going to happen. You like it, hate it, going to happen. But you will never going to have understanding, because you don't have the trust. You don't have the love and the trust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala acting for your best interest, not acting to harm you. The second, when you submit, you're gonna be submitting by your will. Out of love and confidence that I was talking about. And listen to this. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he already believed mind-wise, behavior-wise. But after that, in the next stage, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came and say, وَإِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لَرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, submit. Submit in what sense? Submit with the confident. الانقياد. The submission with confident. He said, I submit with confident, with love. Because I know nothing the Lord will do to harm me. Even if it looks harm, but it is a hidden mercy and it is an act of love. And that's part of the things we are missing out from our life. Okay. Another thing you miss when you share the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with others, or you don't feel it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught your parents how to love you. What kind of a love he got for you? If he's the one who taught your mother and taught your father how to love you. So when even you as a mother take your child to a school and you try to talk to the teacher or whatever, and you say, take care of it. Take care of your loved one. Or you try to be friendly, or you give them gifts, or whatever there is, whatever we do, you know. And you try, you are trying to give, to make your that one love your kid. How about the one who gave that love to your parents? Now the challenge and the question that I have and you have, do you feel that love or you don't? Do you feel Allah love? It's out there. Do you feel it? Alhamdulillah.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
Okay.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.